prospering after lockdown. Yes, Dr. Uche, last week our focus actually was on what did Noah bring out of that ark with him? What do I mean by that? You know, Noah and his family, his wife, three sons and their wives, eight souls altogether, they were put in that ark. They were under lockdown, complete, total lockdown, inside an ark with every manner of animal, clean animal, unclean animal, clean birds, unclean birds. For 1 year, when we did the calculation from the scriptures, 1 year, approximately 2 months. Noah entered that ark when he was 600 years old. Sorry, when he was, 600. By the time he was coming out, it was 601. We see that in Genesis chapter 8. So just a quick recap. I don't know if you remember some things we said, you know, in Noah and his family will probably, perhaps some symptoms, somebody who's been locked down with animals might be presenting as a doctor to you when they come out of that ark. You know, let me say one, they were locked down inside that place and there was no sunlight for 1 year, 2 months. So I remember last week you did mention something like, vitamin D, because it comes from sunlight. So there might, probably, we are looking at probabilities on vitamin D deficiency. So do you want to take us just a little bit of a recap, some things, interesting things people participated in? Thank you, everybody. Yes, Opayemi, Olabanji, thank you. Welcome. Yes, Grandma, Abikombi, welcome.
Yeah, so yeah, in addition to that, some of the things we said, you know, the things that Noah must have gone through while in the ark, we said that he must have gone through a lot of uncertainty, not knowing when the flood was going to end, not knowing what his life and the life of his family was going to look like when they came out of the ark. We looked at life in the ark, you know, having to deal with so many animals, very little human interaction. I think someone mentioned disturbance of the sleep cycle, you know, not knowing daytime, nighttime, hearing the cries of the people who were drowning outside, the emotional trauma and turbulence, being exposed to a new thing that he wasn't used to, taking care of animals, maybe even sick animals, feeding the animals, feeding his family, those sort of things, and then just worries about, you know, the future, what the future was going to look like. I mean, it's even possible that he may even have even still having some regrets, you know, in terms of what his life was like before entering into the ark, and so on, you know, and then dealing with the loss of lives, you know, his in-laws and so on. So we talked about all those things in terms of the emotional effects of being in the ark, you know, and then coming out of it, and then we related it to our own lives, you know, coming out of the ark in modern day times. Yes.
Yeah, especially when we've all experienced lockdown in one form or the other. Yes. Just to remind people not to forget, you know, the myriad of emotions that we all went through, especially even around this time last year. The lockdown was still very, very strong, especially here in the UK. And the global pandemic, there was hardly any nation on the earth that it didn't affect. And that was the parallel to what was going on in the time of Noah, because the whole earth at that time went through that. Yeah, you know, some of the things I wrote down, you know, people said, you know, potentially one of the newest ones is that, remember, they were inside that ark, there was potentially the probability that all of them added weight while they were inside that ark. Like some people, you know, added weight in this past 1 year, some people we've not seen. And, you know, I've had some people actually indirectly say, oh, no, I don't want to come for physical gathering. I've added some weight. And, you know, so that could have happened to Mrs. Noah and the grand, the daughter-in-laws and the son-in-laws. Everyone could have added weight, potentially, you know, potential PTSD, having the post-trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder, because, you know, lives were lost. Noah lost his own immediate, extended family, his brothers, family, you know, in-laws, mother-in-law, father-in-law, his co-in-laws, to his sons and daughters, you know, so many things. And, you know, fears. And especially when you're also inside a such lockdown, phobias, you might, you know, develop some fears, you know, and things like that. And then another one was habits. You know, there's a way people just develop habits. Some will probably break habits. And, you know, for example, let me use this as an example. Just not a very good example, but think about it. You were asked, you can't go out for a whole year, and maybe you used to smoke weed. You know, I said it's not a good example, but, you know, in that 1 year, you couldn't have access to weed. So somehow, in a way, that habit, you'll be forced to drop the habit.
Break
it. So what I'm just trying to bring out of that is that circumstances at times can help us change habits and form new habits. As a result of the boredom, as a result of the fears, uncertainty, you don't know tomorrow, you know, and, you know, you see people even resorting to, they don't know when they start cutting each other. I mean, cutting themselves, you know, self-harm. So many things that we can draw out of that, a parallel to what people go through in our world. And, okay, let's look at the positives, because we are looking today, once again, our topic, prospering after lockdown. So join us on Slido, the hashtag LOVESLIDO. And if you've not shared this, you know, you need to share it. Remember, invite somebody. You've got to. This might actually be a lifesaver for somebody. I'm telling you. So share this link and send it to somebody and let them join us in this discussion. And feel free to comment, right? So please put your comments on the Facebook live feed. Please feel free to do that. We will be checking and we will appreciate your comments. So now, Dr. Uche, having looked at some of these things we've kind of highlighted, you know, some of the things we've highlighted that potentially Noah and his family might have, you know, gone through, which we could identify. Oh boy, somebody made a funny comment. Pastor, if they could not go to weed, weed came to them. You find what you're looking for. I don't know what the person means by that. Well, what God told him to go in with the ark with was food. I'm just using that. The analogy is just to let us see at times we can, circumstances can make us break habits.
Yeah.
Or form new habits.
Yes.
We're going somewhere with that, because you can actually, circumstances can force you to stop a habit. But then what happens when you suddenly find the same circumstances back? You're all of a sudden, the freedom comes back. There's a tendency, potential, to go back to the old ways. And that is why tonight we must see how to grow our heart, how to mature our heart, how we have a change of heart so we don't go back to some things that somehow the pandemic and the lockdown has actually helped us to overcome. Is the key. All right. So let's look more. Please keep your comments coming. Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you very much. So now I want us to look now at the positives. Okay. And then we will look at some principles tonight. What do you think are the positive things Noah came out of that lockdown with? You know why? Because definitely to restart all over again, you can only start with what you have. So what do you think are some of the things, maybe things he learned or acquired, or could have acquired potentially in the ark, and was coming out of the ark with them? I don't know what your thoughts are, or maybe there are some things you know, reflecting over the study that you want to share with us. But I just want us to discuss that, first. Mm. And then we look at some things that also were laid on my heart on how to prosper after a lockdown. Okay?
Okay, so, like we mentioned last week, Noah, one of the first things he did when he came out of the ark was to build an altar. And like we also mentioned last week, an altar is basically a place of communion, is a place of surrender, is a place of recognition of God's will. So despite whatever good or bad, you know, that Noah may have experienced within the ark, his first action on coming out was to build that altar. So that's one good thing.
Sorry, let me read that scripture so that people will understand what you're saying.
Okay.
So Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Genesis 8, 20 is where Dr. Uche just mentioned to us. Noah comes out of the ark in verse 18. His wife, his sons, wives, and all the animals. And verse 20 tells us, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Yes, go on, sir. So you said, okay,
mm-hmm. He comes out. So he came out with that attitude. And this was, like we said, it wasn't without, it was not God telling him to do this. It was of his own volition, you know, so of his own free will, he offered a burnt sacrifice, built an altar unto God. So that was symbolic. God saw it. God was happy with it. And as a result of that, you know, God declared that in verse 21, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intent of man's heart is wicked from his youth, and I will again destroy, and I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done while the earth remains. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Going into the next chapter, in chapter 9, we see Noah beginning to take the first steps towards repopulating the earth, towards engaging productively with the earth. So God had said, be fruitful and multiply. He went on, he cultivated a vineyard, which is cultivated, which is planting, which is part of the whole being fruitful and multiply. So at least we can see Noah doing that. So these are good things anyway that came up. An attitude of obedience, you know, because God had said seed time and harvest, and he was engaging with that. You know, later on we'll go into some other things that happened, but at least we can see that he had an attitude of obedience, you know, the initial stage to God's command. So those are good things, I think, that came out of the
altar. Okay, thank you. Please, you are with us on this live broadcast, and we would like you to contribute. What do you think are the good things that came out of the ark with Noah and his family, his sons and sons' wives? Okay. So please, we would like to see you write the comments. What are the good things you think, you know, Noah came out with from the ark? Now, Dr. Uche, some of the things I noted was definitely must have learned new skills while he was in that ark. Like last week, you did point out that, wait a minute, he suddenly had to start looking after the animals. Prior to Noah going inside that animal, the ark, you know, we didn't read of any of his interactions looking after animals. Yeah. Actually, if you read, God told him to take two of every animal, two of every bird, both clean and unclean. But then I read somewhere where it says that God actually made those animals come to him and follow him into the ark. You know, let me read that. Let me see exactly where that is, because some of these things, it's good not to assume that we know, or, you know, we think that he kept looking, because I remembered, I was sharing with my wife, You know, we did a study once and somebody was talking about, you know, what it was like, what it must have been like, that Noah must have gone to, you know, searching for all the animals, you know, and all that. Let me show us where that is. I think, let's see, was it Genesis and chapter 6? Okay. Look at it, Genesis chapter 6. We're going back, sorry, and verse 19. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 19. It says, and of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Verse 20, Genesis chapter 6. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every kind, look at it, will come to you to keep them alive.
Yeah.
And okay, there's another scripture being pointed out, Genesis chapter 7, verse
9.
Genesis chapter
7.
Yeah.
Verse 9.
And verse 9, let's see what it says. So Noah with his sons and sons went to the ark because of the water of the flood, of clean animals. Of animals that are clean, birds, everything that creeps on the earth. Two by two went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God commanded Noah. Okay, that's that. But that verse, chapter 6, tells us they came. Mm. You know, God made them come to him. They followed him. Genesis 7 now shows us they followed him into the ark.
Yeah.
So we need to understand that that in itself was a bit supernatural.
Absolutely.
So Noah had no prior vet experience.
Hmm.
So he acquired veterinary skills, looking after animals, feeding animals, you know, and let's see some of the things, you know, I wrote down, you know, some develop coping strategies, because how can you be under lockdown for a whole year? You must have learned something on how to cope. So develop some coping strategies, zookeeping, you know, how to live with family, relationship-wise. You just have to learn to tolerate, accommodate family, improved relationships, you know. It was also potential for relationships to break down. But let's look at the positive side, that definitely they learn to live together. You learn to accommodate people. You learn to have a more a large heart to forgive, because you had no choice anyway, you know. And one other key thing, you know, when we were looking at, don't forget the dove. Remember the dove.
Mm-hmm.
Noah must have studied the animals for him to have recognized that it was the raven he should send out. And it was the dove he should send out. Because why didn't he send out the eagle?
Mm.
Why didn't he send out the crow? Why didn't he send out, you know, any bird? Now, the raven is an unclean bird, and the dove is a clean bird. So we can see, and those things are deep too. They are very prophetic. So these are just some things. What about, you know, management skills? Managing resources, because he went into the ark with food. God didn't tell him how long they were going to be under that lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no way they could go out shopping.
No.
So they must have learned how to manage the resources. So human resource management, you know, what do they call it? The people who work in HR, human relations, you know, and management, you know, managing resources, and, you know, just so many things we can see from there. All right. So those are positives. Let me see if we have comments. Thank you, people. What are the positive things you think came out of that ark with Noah? Okay. Somebody wrote good things, appreciation for life and a closer relationship with God. Definitely. He must have some way maintained his relationship with God, because remember what made him qualified to enter that ark was because he walked with God. He was different in his generation. So thank you for that comment. Someone's still talking about the habit. He said, the circumstances might not have allowed you to keep the habit. If the heart has not changed, the habit will come back with new circumstances. So the question, the key, the heart, okay? Yeah. Somebody said, again, a heart of gratitude and understanding. He must have had a heart of gratitude, understanding, for him to know that, you know, to offer clean animals. So he must have spent time with God in the ark. Yeah, we're looking at topic today, prospering after lockdown. And we are learning from Noah. So please keep your comments coming. We will keep checking them on Slido. Your questions also. So Dr. Uche,
yeah,
having looked at that, and then also he came out with blessing. Because when you look at it, going back to Genesis chapter 8, he came out with the Lord's blessing. Mm-hmm. Because one, it was God who said, all right, Noah, time to come out. And the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 8, from verse 15, then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Genesis chapter 8, verse 15. And verse 17, bring out with you every living thing of flesh, of all flesh that is with you, birds, cattle, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Look at it. So that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So it came out with the potential to be fruitful and to multiply. I don't know if there's anything you want to add to that quickly.
And and in chapter 9, verse 1, it also says, and God blessed Noah and his sons.
That's right.
This is very instructive because later on, when we see when Noah cursed his grandchild, you know, for me, I was thinking, wait, hold on, you know, God has blessed you and he also blessed your sons. So why are you cursing, you know? But yes, to reinforce what he said, yeah, so he said, God bless Noah. And so, yeah, so that was part of the blessing, be fruitful, multiply and fill the earth.
Okay. Now, before we get into the nitty gritty, because we have to learn some things from Noah we need to avoid also. Mm-hmm. You've highlighted one there. You were blessed. Your sons were blessed. Where did you get the heart to start cursing? Big question. So, but we will get down to that, right? One thing also wanted us to note was, okay, somebody makes a comment that Noah's patience and self-control was tested and developed in the ark. Yes, thank you for that contribution. That's on Slido. Any contributions on the Facebook comments? Please keep the comments coming. We want you to know. We would like to hear from you also. It's a discussion, participate and contribute. Noah gets to know, appreciate and honor God and his ways more in the ark. Very true. Thank you, Elizabeth Adeyinka, for that. All right. One other thing, Dr. Uche.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us finally when that ark rested.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know it rested on top of a mountain called Ararat? When they got inside that ark, they were in another location.
Mm.
When they were stepping out of the ark, there was a change of location. They were now from the mountaintop. They had to come out on top of a mountain because that's where the ark rested. So, well, there was change of location and that they... Let's look at it. They came out into an unfamiliar territory.
Mm.
It wasn't something they were familiar with. I believe we can all identify with this thing. things. So some of us listening, watching, participating, I'm sure you can identify with some of these things which we must not lose. Okay? Hopefully before we close tonight, there's some principles which was highlighted that I will share with us. So, okay, Dr. Uche, it comes out of the ark with all these good things we've identified and more.
Mm-hmm.
He builds an altar to the Lord. Look at what he does. He took of every clean animal. This is specific. Every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Verse 21, as a result of what Noah did, the Lord smelled a soothing aroma, and God reversed that curse that was on the earth. He says, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. But, a big but, although, and that is where I want you to elaborate, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. With every potential, with all the new skills, new knowledge, coping strategy, all the things we've highlighted, learning how to look after animals, human relationship, resource management, learning to live with family, you know, you just have to learn to settle quarrels. You know, you said something funny last week that, you know, settling quarrel between the goats and the lion. With all that, Dr. Uche, something was still a problem. The imagination of the heart. There was still a heart problem. You know, someone said last week, oh, Noah had a heart transplant while in that ark. Really? Let's look at scriptures. What do you have to say about that, sir? That is a problem because you highlighted something before.
Okay, well, I think this promise that God was making was not dependent on the goodness of man. It was an unconditional thing. God was recognizing that despite man's propensity or, you know, potential to do evil. And he was speaking generally, man, you know, mankind, but he was also speaking specifically concerning Noah. So in a way, he was telling Noah that even though you've had this time in the ark, you've offered this sacrifice, I still know what is inside your heart. You know, I know that your heart still has a potential for evil, but despite that, I am going to bless you anyway. And that's the covenant. You know, this captures the very essence of God. And I hope that as we all are listening, we understand that as we come out of this lockdown period, that this is the God that we're coming out to. When we talk about a new heart, this is what God is all about. It's all about love. So he's not saying as we come out of this lockdown, I'm going to bless you when you do this good thing, when you pray for this number of times, when you attend church this number of times. That's the covenant that we have in Jesus Christ. You know, it's the grace. You know, that it's by faith, it's not by works, even though your works are also needed. So I feel like this captures the very essence of God. It also echoes into the future, all the future covenants that God was going to have with Abraham, David, and, you know, everyone else. He was trying to say that this is who I am, and I know who you are. And despite who you are, I'm still going to bless you anyway. And then the stories what we read about in Genesis 9 is actually just the way things play out. So, for instance, one of the things I noted was in chapter 9, verse 6, where God was still speaking, and he said that whoever sheds man's blood by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God he made man. Now, many times when we read this, we think of, oh, it's, you know, whoever kills, you know, God will kill. I'm sure when we read that, that's the first thing that comes to our mind, which is not wrong. But when we go into the New Testament and we read in Matthew, I believe it's Matthew 5, I'll just read it. Hold on. So where we read about in, I think it's Matthew 5 anyway, where Jesus Christ was talking about that if you call your brother a fool, or if you if you're angry with your brother, if you call your brother a fool, if you abuse your brother, that you are already in danger of judgment. So we read this and then we think, oh, it's only when we kill somebody. But God was saying, you know, eventually through Jesus Christ, that it's more than that. So I think, you know, what strikes me in all this is that it wasn't so dependent on our actions. It's the grace that God has given us, that his love is released upon us. As we come out of this lockdown, we have an opportunity to do amazing things for God, but that we don't need to be held back, or we don't need to hold ourselves to our own standards. We don't need to feel like, you know, we need to impress God. We don't need to feel like God is going to bless us when we do certain things, when we're able to impress him in this or that. He just loves us and he just blesses us. And it's as a result of that knowledge of his blessing upon us that we just, you know, love him back. We just do all the things he wants us to do. We just obey him. So those are, that's basically what comes to mind, really.
You know, from what you have shared, what comes back to my mind, because we need to also get some balance, that, okay, yeah, God loves me. God blesses me. So I can do whatever I like. You know, that's always the extreme that some people take, the grace of God. You know, we can, the Bible talks about not frustrating the grace of God. You know, yeah, he's blessed us, he's given us the grace, but the grace is not for us to continue in sin. The grace is not for us to do whatever we like. Say, no, the grace of God covers me. The love of God covers me. I can do what? No. And with Noah, it's clear that, yeah, he did this, he's acquired this, he's done these skills, he's better at relating with people, he's done that. And he came out, he builds an altar, he offers burnt offering, and all that. Those are works. In spite of all the works, his heart did not change. You know the mistake, Dr. Uche, that I'm realizing, and personally in my own personal life, I realize, hey, watch your heart. Watch your heart. Watch, the Bible tells us, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it proceeds the issues of life. Jesus spoke clearly, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. It starts with thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, uncleanness. It always starts with the thought. And I'm telling you, living witness, I have fallen, you know, at times when I don't control my thought. One of the hard lessons I'm learning is always a thought. If you don't capture that thought, it can lead to an action. But, you know, as far as God is even concerned, Jesus said, no, you don't even need to do it. Is when you think it, when he was talking about, you look at a woman to lust, you've not even done anything physical with her, just the fact that you thought it, to God, that is already adultery. So the heart of the matter really now, is capturing those thoughts and not just focusing on our actions. Oh, well, I didn't do this, so I'm okay. You cannot do it. It's not works that saves us. It's the grace. We are saved by grace. By grace are we saved through faith. It's the gift of God. So upon all the altar, upon all the clean animals, burnt offering, we still see a Noah, like you said, go further than a blessed Noah. Plant a vineyard. And what does he do? gets drunk and curses. Your question, which we should all ponder, where did this all come from? Problem of the heart. If we can deal with it at the thought level, I'm speaking to myself, thought level, because if you can think it, it's almost considered as done, because that's what God looks at, our hearts. So if we can just focus on the heart and stop looking at acts, our heart subsequently, if we start having good thoughts, will lead to good actions. God recognizes it, but it's not the works that save us. It's the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy that actually saves us. So, you know, that thing you've said there, just to so that we all see and get a very good balance. Let me see if we have comments. We're looking at prospering after lockdown. Thank you for all your contributions. Let me see. Somebody's asking a question already. Did he have three different color sons because one of his sons was called Kush? Interesting, you know, because his sons, let me correct that. It wasn't his son that was called Kush. It's a grandson that was called Kush. His three sons were Shem, Ham, and Japhet. This person is asking a colored question, but we will take it. When you look at the entire human race we have today, they all came from Noah. That generation of Noah is what has led to everyone today. So we all have different skin pigmentation. So we all came from there. So whether the three sons had three colors, three skin pigmentation, the Bible is not clear. But one thing is clear, we all came from there. And that is why color of skin should not be an issue.
Yes.
It's one of the greatest evil and lies sold to human race, to think that skin pigmentation is what makes one less than the other or one more superior than the other. So just to comment on that, I'm trying to see, is there any other comment? Please keep your comments coming on Facebook. Please, the media, help us check if anybody has put a question or a comment. Thank you. We're looking at prospering after lockdown. Now, let's start doing a home run, Dr. Uche. If we go to that Genesis chapter 9, you have also told us, made us see, it's not when you physically kill that God counts as murder. Hatred. When you hate your brother, your sister, to God, that is murder. You know, because hatred is, you know, you detest someone so much that you wish them evil.
Yeah.
It's also the problem of the heart. When you, and you asked, you didn't say God said he will establish a covenant. You know, God cut a covenant. What's a covenant? It's an agreement, basically, put in layman's language, between two people or more. But usually in those days, a stronger person makes a covenant with a weaker person. So if I'm weak, I should go look for someone stronger to make a covenant with, so that my weaknesses, the person's strength can cover me. So in this case, God, who is omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing, decides, I will make that agreement with you. I will cover you, your weaknesses. I will cover you where you are not knowing. I will cover you, cover your nakedness, you know, with a covenant. So God makes a covenant, like we can see in that Genesis chapter 9. But then let's now look at the problems from verse 18. Okay? The Bible says, now the sons of Noah went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japhet. And Ham was the father of Canaan. So let me quickly say something about blessed. God blessing us to also buttress what you said. That God, the word blessed means you are empowered to prosper. When you look at it, God said, God blessed Genesis. Let's go back to that verse 1, Genesis 9. So God blessed Noah and his sons, said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. So if you interchange that word blessed with empowered to prosper. So what happened there, the literal meaning of blessed means that God empowered Noah and his sons to be fruitful. Empowered Noah and his sons to multiply. Empowered them to fill the earth. And that's where the doing part comes in. When you're empowered, you must use what you're empowered for the purpose for which you're empowered to do. So God empowered them. The blessing is to be fruitful, not to fight, not to create war, not to curse, not to do any evil. Look at the beautiful things God has empowered every one of us that came, because we all came from that lineage. So you are listening tonight. God has empowered you not to go into strife and be fighting and creating war. No, you are meant to. He's empowered you to be fruitful, to multiply and fill the earth. So where do all the cursing comes from? Where do all the strife come from? We see it. Noah and his sons, let's go back to verse 16, sir. They went out of the ark, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah to answer the question of the person who said one of his sons was called Cush. No, it wasn't a son who was called Cush. It was a grandson that was called Cush. And Cush literally means black. So I know where that person is going. Okay? So these three, verse 19, were the sons of Noah. And that is to buttress what we just said. From this, the whole earth was populated. Okay, now let's begin to look at what happened. What began to go wrong? Verse 20, and Noah began to be a farmer and he planted a vineyard. So, let's stop there. Why do you think Noah became a farmer? Because I did hear someone say, oh, God didn't tell him to go and plant a vineyard. God didn't tell him to be a farmer. So maybe that was even a mistake on Noah's part to go and plant a vineyard, because out of that vineyard, he became drunk. Why do you think he became a farmer? Let's try and reason. Okay? What do you think, Dr.?
When I thought about it, it was one of the questions I asked myself. I asked myself, did Noah actually ask God before he built before he planted the vineyard? Because we know from current research that, you know, vineyards have a lot of economic value, and, you know, back in the day they were used, you know, the grapes, they had a lot of ceremonial value and things like that. So in trying to draw correlates to today, I was like, you know, do we generally tend to do things just because maybe we can do it? Or just because it feels comfortable, it seems or sounds like the right thing to do? I mean, these were questions I don't know definitively, but I'm asking myself, seeing as things eventually went, is it possible that Noah just planted the vineyard without actually asking God for directions? So assuming God actually told Noah, plant a vineyard, did God say what to do with the grapes? You know, because you could use grapes for food as fruits, or you could process it and turn it to wine. And assuming he turned it to wine, did God say this wine is for your own consumption?
or for your own infirmity's sake, like Timothy.
Yeah, because, you know, Pastor, you know how all these mafia movies are. You know, these people that sell cocaine, they'll be like, don't dip into the products that don't, you know, that only sell. Don't take from your product. So I'm wondering, you know, is it possible that God already knew that, Noah, your tolerance level for alcohol is very low, you know? Or is it possible that, you know, he had been drinking, because the Bible says that he drank some that day. So is it possible that he already had low tolerance for alcohol and he only drank some and then yet he got drunk? Or, you know, could he have been drinking little bits, you know, here and there before he eventually got to the point of drunkenness? And then, like we said last week, you know, could he have just developed, you know, love for alcohol as a maladaptive, you know, coping mechanism while in the ark? You know? So these are questions that came up in my head, and, you know, I feel like those are questions that we all also need to be asking ourselves. You know, as we come out of this lockdown, as we go forward into whatever endeavor, our business, our families, our careers, you know, are we asking God for directions with regards to what we should do? And even if he has given us directions, have we proceeded the way he wants us to? Are we beginning to indulge in things that he hasn't asked us to? Are we making sure our hearts are perfect towards him? Because I feel like if Noah at some point had just called pause and just said, I don't like the way this thing is going, the direction this thing is going, I'm not really sure. Now, God, let me turn back to you. Maybe I should even go and build another altar or something. You know, I'm sure God would probably have told him, you know, maybe giving him some more clarity with regards to, you know, how to proceed. Because you would imagine that someone who is trying to repopulate the earth, you know, maybe he'll be thinking more of urban planning. Where are we going to build a dam? Where are we going to build this? Where are we going to build the city hall? You know, all because this is city building, you know, and urban planning and all that. So is it possible that God, you know, was pushing him in that direction, and rather than think along those lines, he was thinking, let me just plant a vineyard? So the message for us is, you know, as we come out of the lockdown, is God giving you a message? Is he giving you a bigger vision? Is he telling you that do something, even if it's outside your comfort zone? I mean, Noah had never built a city before. He didn't have any knowledge about repopulating the earth. But is it possible that God is giving some of us those messages, and rather than do that, rather than seek his will regarding that, we just want to do what we know, what we think is comfortable, what we think is familiar? You know, and this, again, like you said, speaks to the condition of our hearts. Are we completely surrendered to him? Are we willing to obey him, even if it doesn't feel comfortable?
Thank you for that. That is very apt, Dr. Uche. You know, one of the things that God also gives us is a brain. Okay, I'm looking at it also. Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. And a vineyard, you know, is grapes and things and fruits you plant in the vineyard. So that's something that common sense, because God tells him to come out of the ark. And of course, they have to eat. So replenish the earth. So because I will show us something. Our time is fast spent, and I want us to round up in 10 minutes, you know. Show us some things that I saw. So, like you said, yeah, just get on with life, but then don't make the mistake of not consulting God. Because one of the things I saw, and if we read Genesis chapter 9, yes, Noah comes out of the ark. The first thing is he remembers God. He raises altar. He offers clean animals, clean birds, burnt offering. God smells the aroma. God actually even pronounced the blessing on him, you know, and reversed the curse as a result of what Noah did, using his brain, his common sense, his intuition to honor God. But then life now continues. Common sense. Okay, let me, because God said Genesis 8:22, seed time, harvest. So, yeah, that's a farmer. That's farming. But then, do we still consult God even though we know we can do this? We should not forget one thing, sir. I see a Noah build the altar, offer to God when he steps out of the ark. From Genesis 8, Genesis 9, till we see the end of Noah, at the bottom, latter part of Genesis 9, we never read again that Noah builds an altar again or offers burnt offering to God. It was not recorded. Could it be he forgot God? Why would you go and curse? Why would you continue? Yeah, life continues, all right. Let's just get on by and by. What happened to the altar? What happened to the burnt offering? And I see in my own life, one strong thing I perceive God is saying, don't forget that altar. Don't forget to continue to make burnt offerings. Don't forget God. Consult God. Yes, the Bible says the heart of a man devises his way. You can use your common sense, but the Lord directs his steps. So as we come up with ideas, business ideas, new territories, conquering things, buying houses, doing this and that, don't forget the altar. Always consult God. Let your heart devise your way, your plans, but let God do the directing. Mm. It is in the direction we need God. Yes, Lord, I have this idea. You know, we challenge everyone. Let's all look at one thing I want to do for God, with God. Yes, it's for God, but you must do it with God's direction. So that actually could be where he began to miss it. Goes, plants a vineyard. The next thing, like you said, started drinking. And somebody put it, said there's an African proverb, though it's not in the Bible, but very funny. We can, he said, a palm wine tapper should not be a drinker. The person, like you mentioned about the mafia, you don't, what did you say about the mafia?
Don't dip into the product.
You have been told to market the product, sell the product.
Yeah, don't sell. Don't take it.
Oh, Lord. Okay, somebody said maybe because, please, if we can, the media, if you can please be displaying some of these comments people are putting. Like this comment, somebody said, maybe because the ground was cursed previously, he was not used to farming. After the curse was lifted, he started a new habit of farming out of curiosity. Yeah, just common sense. Because God says, seed time, harvest. So, sow and reap. Sow and reap. So he figured out, yeah. Remember, God had empowered him now to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth. So it's common sense to, you know, to plant things. Okay, somebody's asking a question on Slido. How can I know God is directing me to do certain things? Listen, I will say two practical things. Number one, ask God for direction. Because as simple as that is, we forget. You can just presume that God is the one directing you. Did you ask him for direction? Lord, this is my plan. The Bible says, commit your ways to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. So you make the plan. Did you ask for direction? So that's number one. And I will tell you, Dr. Uche, let me sound a bit spiritual. And for everyone, I will use the word sixth sense. There is that sixth sense in us. Has it happened to you before that you want to go somewhere, you prayed, and as you are going, you felt uncomfortable? It's as if, why am I feeling this way? Why did I, something told me not to turn there. I felt uncomfortable when I turned in this way, when I did this. That's God directing you through an inward witness. When you have peace, that's how you know God is directing you. The peace that you can't really explain, but you just feel good. You have a sense of peace within your belly. I'm not talking about the feel-good factor after somebody slapped you and you plot a revenge. And you get them back and you watch them suffer and then you're happy. You feel good. No, we're talking about the inward peace you feel, an inward feeling, the sixth sense. That's God directing you. Number one, ask him to direct you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And he says, do not lean on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. I don't know if you want to add to that, because I want to do a home run and just in 2 minutes share some principles of how to prosper
Just to add to what you've said, you know, like most of us know, it's very good to work with the revealed will of God, you know, because, you know, we often try to find God's direction, you know, maybe when the chips are down, when we're under a lot of pressure, when there's an urgent decision to be made. But, you know, scripture says that, you know, Jesus Christ was saying that my sheep know my voice, you know. So we learn to recognize the voice of Jesus Christ. How? It's by listening. Faith comes by hearing and, you know, hearing the word of God. So if we keep dwelling, because sometimes the decisions are so simple because they are just there. You know, it's just there. You just open the word of God and the answer is there.
Written.
You know? But if we're not, but if we're not, if we've not read it, then, you know, we would know it. It's just like they say, you can't give what you don't have. In an exam hall, you know, if you haven't read the answer to, if you've not read that question, no matter how you knock, bite your pencil, do anything, if it's not there, it's not there. You're trying to remember something that you've not studied. So it's easier to be able to make these decisions where we know the open and the revealed will of God. And oftentimes, well, this is just my experience, and I'm not saying it as doctrine, but I feel like in 90% of the decisions we need to make, most of the time, the answers are there in the word of God. It's the harder ones that maybe are a bit nuanced, gray area here and there. We need to actually listen for the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, to tell us, you know, this way, that way. But most times, you know, simple things like, okay, should you take this money or should you not take this money? What does the Bible say about it? Should you go into this relationship or should you not go into this relationship? What does the Bible say about it? You know, don't be unequally, et cetera, et cetera. So sometimes the answers are very simple and they're just there in the word of God. So anyone looking for direction, that's a good place to start and then, you know, build on from there.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Uche. I think we will be stopping here. Let me just say this. Next week, I think we have one more Thursday in the month of June. We will, because we have to close now, we are going to be looking. It's also the question and answer we usually devote to question and answer. So we'll look in depth. I will be sharing with us and Dr. Uche. Once again, I will also invite you back for the part three. We will be looking at principles of how to prosper after lockdown. Time will fail us tonight, so we won't be able to go in there. So be expectant. We will see these principles from Genesis chapter 8 and Genesis chapter 9. And thank you for all your contributions tonight. Thank you. Somebody said the grace of God helps me to overcome sin. Definitely. Okay. So thank you for all your comments. We've got to wrap it up here today. Join us next week. We will be looking at the principles of how to prosper after a lockdown. Final word from you, Dr. Uche.
Well, what I say is let's begin to, just in anticipation of next week's meeting, let's begin to think of prosperity the way God wants it, the way God defines it. I think it's God's will for every one of us to prosper, but let's start asking ourselves, for instance, when the Bible says seed time and harvest, what type of seeds, you know, is God talking about? Is he talking about money? Is he talking about your time? Is he talking about your talents, you know, and so on? You know, because this will feed into that discussion on prosperity. What does it mean for you personally to prosper, as opposed to, as compared to someone else? Does God define prosperity in your own life differently from someone else? Has God given you a different target such that when you hit that target, he says, well done, you prospered? And does he give another person a different target and, you know, he says, well done, you prospered? And so on and so forth, you know, just so that we start thinking about these things, because, you know, I think they're very important.
Thank you very much, Dr. Uche. Final word from me. Remember, you are blessed, empowered to prosper, to be fruitful, to multiply, and to replenish this earth. And what God has empowered you and I for, I pray, it's already in us, because the seed was already Noah and those three sons and the daughters, in-laws, and his wife. The seed to be fruitful, to multiply and replenish the earth. Next week, we will see principles in depth of how to prosper after a lockdown. Dr. Uche, Thank you all the way from Blackpool.
Thank you very much.
From Liverpool. We sign out tonight and see you all same time next week, 7 p.m. God bless you.
God bless you.
Hand over now to the media team.